Sunday the 8th of January 2023, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Journey with Matthew. Sermon title, Turn Around. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Talk by Darrell Williams.
The scripture today is taken to us from Matthew chapter 3, reading through verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Morning.
You all hear me? Am I all live?
Yeah.
Waving at the back? Yes, good. Right, lovely. How are you all doing? Right, well, it's great to be back sharing the word with you all this morning. And it's almost surreal to think that the last time I preached, I was trying to record myself on my tablet computer and upload files to be edited and shared via social media and on our website. The great thing about preaching live is I only get one attempt to get this right, and then that is it. I am done. One confession I must make is that I did not realise how vain I can be. And I think it was the many online calls that I started doing for work that was probably to blame for this. And I am constantly seeing myself on camera. I think there was one occasion where it took me nearly a day to record a 5-minute video that I was finally happy with. I purchased this teleprompter software where I could have my sermon scrolling across the screen whilst trying to maintain eye contact with the camera. I had to try and work out the right scrolling speed so I was comfortable with kind of how the text was moving, try and get the right size of the text. If the text was too small, you couldn't read it. If the text was too large, it scrolls off the... You're looking away from the camera, which means there's no real point having the software on the tablet, and you're looking away from the lens. There was nothing more frustrating than maybe getting 2 or 3 minutes into a recording and then making a mistake and then having to start again. Another thing I learned was I became a little bit too obsessional about backgrounds. And I would start to spend time walking up and down the garden trying to find the perfect spot to record the video. And you might notice from me, if you've ever seen any of my videos, I particularly used to like to try and find a nice tree. It almost seems ironic to think that it was during lockdown, when we were told to stay at home, that I really started to appreciate even more just how many people within the community here at St. Chad's, how many people here dedicate their time and work so tirelessly hard for the church. We had to kind of adjust to this kind of new online world as we look for new ways to bring the word out to everybody. And things really stood out to me because there was all these kind of content and these things going online, and there were kind of parts of the church family that perhaps I wouldn't normally see on a regular basis. You know, there's things like the youth ministry that were uploading their wonderful videos, and there's all these amazing content going online. So well done for everyone for persevering through what has been tough and challenging times. And through those difficult trials, St. Chad's is now able to reach out further and wider as that social media presence continues. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Typically, I was looking forward to being able to celebrate my first in-person Christmas in St. Chad's, as well as back at the office for the first time in a couple of years, when that dreaded virus, of which I will not name, managed to finally strike. Thankfully, and praise God, the vaccines and the treatments did their job, and my family fully recovered at home. It was a sharp reminder of how difficult things have been. And of course, challenges remain ahead for us all. But our hope remains in Christ. It was perhaps fitting that Martin was preaching on the prodigal son when I attended my first in-person service here for some time. A reminder that no matter how difficult things have been, whether by our own fault or through the trials that we have faced that are not, that God is ready to welcome us home and calls us back to him. For me, today's passage also feels a good place to renew my ministry as we reflect on Matthew's gospel and how John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming Lord by baptizing believers in the desert, calling for repentance. The New Year celebrations, I think, are often a natural stop, a time for quiet pause and reflection on what has passed and where we set our hopes and aspirations for the future. John the Baptist was the first prophet to be sent in some 400 years, and with him marked that the time of renewal had come. It was time to reflect. Whatever was past has gone. It was now time to start looking forwards to the coming Christ, our hope for the future. Repentance, which John spoke of, can be translated into a few different ways in both Old and New Testament texts. It can mean to say sorry, to change mind, turn back, to return, show regret, feel remorse, or to turn around. When we first become Christians, we are completely altering our lives by following Christ. Through God's love, grace, mercy, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we dispense with the old and we are clothed with the new. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is one story which has had many adaptations, which I guess you could say maybe captures the spirit of Christmas, and that is of Charles Dickens' character Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. The thing about Scrooge is his malice and unpleasant behaviour is a part of a bad journey. We see from his past times of periods of hurt, of regret, of poor decisions, love lost, and missed opportunities. Scrooge is on the wrong path, as we can be if we do not have God in our lives. Scrooge being on the wrong path is a descent into evil. Bad decisions and behaviours which each have their own negative consequences. Hate and anger cannot lead to good things. It is not just the case that Scrooge is an unpleasant character, but the further he goes along the wrong path, the more serious the consequences. Scrooge's awakening comes when faced with the grim reality of being able to see what, if unchanged, his present decisions could have in the future. He sees the impact his behaviour has on Bob Cratchit, his family, and particularly on Tiny Tim, before being faced with the reality of his own judgment. And he asks that following powerful question: are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of the things that may be only? We see a moment of repentance and a complete life-changing transformation. Scrooge turns around. In some respect, Scrooge doesn't just change paths. He first turns around and travels back along the path first travelled to try and undo many of his past wrongs, including reinstating Bob Cratchit and elevating his position at work, providing Tiny Tim with the means to receive life-saving treatment, and he repairs his broken relationship with his nephew. There is perhaps another important lesson which highlights the brilliance of Charles Dickens' writings. While Scrooge can rebuild the relationship with his nephew, correct the wrongs inflicted on Bob Cratchit, and save Tiny Tim, there are some things which are past and he can never fix. For example, his relationship with Belle, who went on to marry someone else. We are all going to face situations in life that we cannot amend. Maybe there are some situations, such as past friendships, that might be wise to not revisit. There are things that happen to us, other people who behave poorly and will not change, as well as situations that are simply beyond our control. When in doubt about this, we have prayer, and it's also important to be able to seek guidance and fellowship with each other, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For these situations, I'm guided by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. John's preaching in the wilderness is perhaps symbolic of where the relationship stood between God and man and people. We were lost in the wilderness because of sin. John was a popular name amongst the Jews, and he received the title Baptist because of his ministry. Also, his being in the desert reminds us that this is the place where the law was received. Acts 7:36. He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass onto us. There are two important things to note in John's preaching. The first is the clear call to repentance. The second is the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. Repentance can lead to radical transformation. And here at St. Chad's, we have heard some amazing testimonies amongst our own community of lives changed and turned around through the power of the Holy Spirit when people have sought to be close to God. The nearness of the kingdom is the grounds for repentance. There's a growing expectation of a coming Messiah, but this expectation was more of maybe a military leader, someone who would overthrow the present authorities, and not of the coming Christ. Jesus was about to begin his ministry and lead to the establishing of the kingdom of God in both heaven and on earth. It is also worth noting John's unusual clothes, which provides a direct link to the prophet Elijah, 2 Kings 1-8. They replied, "He had a garment of hair and had a leather belt round his waist." The king said, "That was Elijah the Tishbite." His ministry was getting noticed, and we see that there were people coming to be baptized by John from a large area. Those coming to John confessed their sins, which was commanded in law for priests' duties and for individuals to take responsibility for individual wrongdoing. The renouncing of sin was a precondition of being baptized in the river. The visit by the Pharisees and Sadducees is an interesting encounter, and I think perhaps signals the change of relationship between God and people that is to come, where the kingdom of God is open to all believers. Repentance must be authentic, and a decision to turn around, to change direction, to take a different road, to bring our lives before God is a personal one. The authorities had noticed John, and it is likely they came to him, possibly even allowing themselves to be baptized, although this is not clear, to witness what was going on. This was perhaps the reason for the strong reaction we see from John, and it outlines the reality of the coming kingdom, which is with the coming kingdom also comes judgment. We are saved through faith, and being a descendant of Abraham, as John points out, is not enough. Our lives need to match our words, and dare I say this, one should practice what they preach. Colossians 3, verses 7 to 10. "You used to walk in his ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practice and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." John contrasts his baptism with that of the one who is to come, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is not the usual order, and the disciple usually follows his master, but here John is preparing the way for the one greater who is to come. We've been through some difficult times, but there are no problems greater than our God. There is no situation that is beyond his control. As we reflect on what is past and move forwards, may we remind ourselves of God's great love and make sure we keep him at the centre of all we do. May I wish you all a very blessed and happy New Year. Amen.